live righteously.
Time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and I'm excited about this one. In blocks two and three, we visit with Ellie Duke, she's a high school kid.
Yeah, but she is a phenomenal singer.
Yeah, plays the guitar herself, sings herself, is phenomenal. Make sure you stick around for that. I got her to play three live songs for us here in the Cultural Hall. That's in the second and third block. It's me, Richie T, joined by Lindsay.
Good day.
Or night.
I always forget to say what.
I don't need to say what time it is. It's your radio background that makes you want to say good morning. Good morning. It's 20 past the hour right now.
Good morning. It's 9 degrees outside.
Which, by the way, it's been freezing and miserable.
It is about 9 degrees outside.
Since we went there instead of where we said we were going to go, let me go there for a second.
Okay.
I've taken up snowshoeing.
Ah, how do you like it?
I love it.
I went snowshoeing in Maine when I was home for Christmas.
How was it?
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Is Maine pretty flat or is it mountainy?
It's where I live. It's pretty flat. It's at sea level.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just go out on the plains?
Yeah. Like we have railroad tracks by our house.
Okay.
So we go across the tracks, over the trestle.
Yeah.
Through the woods. No joke. That's where we go.
And then grandma lives.
Yeah. And then grandma's down the street.
Get out. Really?
No. Grandma's not down the street. But no.
We'd have to walk a really long time to get to grandma's house.
We'd have to walk to Ohio to get there.
What part of Ohio?
Dayton.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a pretty part of Ohio.
No, not really. But it's fun. Anyways, snowshoeing. You love it.
Yeah. So I, because my wife, she hates the cold.
Right.
And I just love doing stuff. So it doesn't matter. Like hot. Okay. I'll go do whatever in the hot. But in the cold, normally we found ourselves, as we've been married a couple years, in the wintertime, it's like, oh, I just want to get out and I want to do something, but I hate that it's cold or whatever, right? So we normally just kind of stay inside and end up cleaning out our basement or something.
My husband's kind of the same way. Never wants to go sledding or anything like that. I'm like, come on, it's fun.
Yeah, let's go do something fun. Let's go, whatever it is, a movie? I'll go to a movie with you. Not that that's cold or warm.
Right.
But I said, okay. I went snowshoeing a couple weeks ago with a good friend of mine who I used to live with when I was single. Had a blast. We went in the middle of the night.
Oh, wow.
Climbed up to Donut Falls, which is a big Cottonwood Canyon, which is just, you know, outside of Salt Lake County here. And gorgeous. But I was like, oh, yeah, sweetheart, let's go. And she had some friends that wanted to go who ended up bailing on us. But here's the point of the story. It was so gorgeous. There was the most amazing thing, and I wish I would have taken a picture of it. I've never seen this before. You know how, like, when you see snowflakes, like, on TV, or, like, you make a snowflake, like, in elementary school?
Like, with paper and scissors?
Yeah, with paper and scissors.
Okay.
And you think, that's not really what a snowflake looks like, right?
Right.
Because you see snow fall down, and
It's just a white blob.
Yeah, it's just a white blob.
Yeah.
It doesn't have, like, a personality like those snowflakes do, right? While we were up there, it was so cold that nothing had really had a chance to melt or kind of glob up. So the snowflakes had fallen on a pine bough, and I was looking right on the pile of snow, and it really was like those snowflakes like you see, like that you would make or that you would see on TV or that you would buy at the store.
Right.
Like it was like, and everyone, and I know this is cliche and dumb, and I don't even know that any of this makes sense, but I just thought it was so cool. Like each of the snowflakes themselves were different, and like each one of them were so amazing to just kind of look at. And then because it was so cold, I could kind of, you know, blow my breath over the top of them, and then it would, you know, get rid of the ones on the top, and the new snowflakes would be up there.
Mm-hmm.
It was just awesome. Anyway, that's it.
Every snowflake is different.
Right? Yeah. And each one of us, like a snowflake, are different. And we have value because one day we'll have to drink that snowflake, which is you. No, I just thought it was cool. It was something that I never stopped and paid that much attention to. And it was just awesome snowshoeing with my wife, having a good time and being out in the cold. And it worked well for her because when you're snowshoeing, you're moving. So you don't really get cold.
Yeah, you're not cold, yeah.
You just keep moving. And
it's good that you stopped to see the snowflakes, like stop to smell the roses.
Yeah.
Like you saw the snowflakes for what they really are.
It was awesome.
And every snowflake you're going to see from now on, you'll be reminded of that snowflake. And how different they all are.
I got to go grab a Kleenex.
This is deep.
Anyway, so what we were going to talk about was embarrassing church moments.
embarrassing church
moments.
Isn't
that kind of embarrassing, what you were telling me about, the state conference thing?
Oh, well, it's not really embarrassing.
It's embarrassing for somebody.
Okay, somebody's embarrassed, yeah. So, state conference on Sunday, Parley's fifth stake. The stake center doesn't fit the entire stake, which when I told my mom when she lives in Maine, that she laughed that the whole stake center doesn't fit the stake. She thought that was humorous.
Yeah.
So our ward and another ward, I think, went to our building, and then the state conference was broadcast from the building. And multiple times, I think at least three times, the feed cut out. Like, it just went blank. Like, you're watching a big screen, it just went dark. And you're like,
did little music come up?
No. There was no standby, please. There was no, like, we are experiencing technical difficulties. It was just blank, and we were all kind of like, are they going to send us home? Because it'd be really sweet if they're like, oh, can't get it to work.
Because I tried. My effort is here.
Yeah, I got here, didn't I?
Yeah.
So it went out a couple of times. And
How long are you talking
about? Each time was different. Like, the first time, it was a couple of minutes, like probably 2 minutes. And then they got
it
back.
Did you still hear it and you just couldn't see it?
Couldn't hear it. Couldn't hear it at all. And you would see it freeze. It was like it was on YouTube and it was like buffering. Yeah. It would just like, and then it would stop.
Will you do that noise for me again? Perfect.
That was really good. That was kind of like a dolphin.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah. Do you know it's a dolphin? Do you talk to him?
I don't know the
reference. Do you have a dorsal fin?
Sorry.
Ace Ventura, don't worry
about
it.
Okay, sorry. So yeah, went out a couple of times. So it was kind of embarrassing, I guess, for the person that was the technical person. What was also embarrassing was, like, are we not in 2013 now? Do we not have the technology to make the picture at least not HD? I don't need an HD screen. At least not fuzzy.
You don't want to see your stake president in HD.
No, I don't need to see him. I don't need to see him in HD. But it was like the feed was like black and white, and it was kind of blurry. And they only had one camera, so when they would pan out to
it's
the
like
choir,
style state conference.
Like, they would pan out to the choir, and then it would get blurry for a second while the camera focused in on the tight shot of the stake president or whoever was speaking, and it was just really awkward. I guess I kind of expected more of like a general conference type broadcast.
Yeah, but think about how much the church spends on the cameras and stuff for the conference center for a general conference. Wouldn't you feel a little bit uneasy if every stake had like general conference level cameras and stuff?
I guess you're right, but I just felt like it was such a budget performance. Like, it was just kind of like
They're like, what, is everybody paying 8%? Where's the extra two going, pal?
I was like, seriously, can we not get a decent like camera shot here? At least two cameras? Can we cut to one tight shot and one wide shot? Mm-hmm. Like, is that too much to ask? So, embarrassing for somebody, not really that big of a deal.
Did you read your scriptures in the interim? What'd you do?
No, I should have. I saw my husband kind of like bend over, and I was like secretly looking to see if he was like praying or something. I don't know if he was. I think he was just tired.
Yeah.
But
did you scratch his back?
I do sometimes, yes.
But did you in that instance?
I don't know if I did then. I can't remember. I did at some point during
Are you
conference.
An anti-back scratcher?
No, I'll scratch way more before I'll like massage, like my husband will ask me.
Yeah, because massaging is weird.
Well, not in church.
In church.
I know in church it's weird. I'm just saying in general.
Oh, okay.
I will
speaking church.
Okay,
I don't want to know about what happens at your house.
In church, I will not massage. No, I will scratch.
Yeah, that's weird. In church to massage. It's I'm just trying to loosen up here. Amen. Oh, yeah.
No. But sometimes I feel the need with the scratch to like dig in a little bit. You know what I mean? Like put a little pressure in there and that hurts my wussy little fingers. Like, I have total wussy small hands and brittle nails, and I just don't like to do it. So I'll do it just because I know my husband
really
likes
it. Do you
really
have a time
limit? It just depends. I'll do it enough that it's like, all right,
that's
you got
good,
what you needed.
Back scratch.
Yeah.
Do you expect the back scratch in return?
Not necessarily.
Do you like it?
I don't care. Yeah, absolutely. And I like, you know, I like the physical touch of, you know, my husband being like, oh, you're cute. I like to scratch
But in
your
church,
back.
Is it appropriate?
I think obviously in moderation, right? All things in moderation.
Sure.
It's, you know, you don't want to be overly PDA, but.
But what's the boundary?
I think a simple back scratch is fine. I think any two-handed massage is getting a little much.
Any massage at all, even a one-handed, there we go.
And I even sometimes see couples like really like head on the shoulder, like cuddled up, just like, you know, sometimes it's almost like.
Is that too much?
Maybe sometimes, but. You know, it's not like, oh, I look at you and think, oh, you should not be doing that in church. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really think like that, but sometimes.
One of my favorite experiences that I've ever had, I was in Missouri, and I can't remember what, I was there because I was the mascot of our college basketball team.
Yeah.
And we were out there, and in the ward that we went to, I think it was a young single adult ward, we're sitting in the chapel, and there was probably, 60 people that attended this meeting. And in front of me, I can't remember if this was during sacrament meeting or if it was during elders quorum, was two dudes, one dude scratching another dude's back. Right? No sort of like, I mean, because I went up and I talked to him because I was like, what, you know, what's, what, yeah, okay, what's the deal here?
Yeah, what's this about?
But I remember sitting there and it's like, it wasn't just like, because I'll do it as a joke. Like if I'm sitting next to one of my buddies
like
in
Rob.
Elders Quorum or
yeah,
like if Rob from here came and went to church with me, I would sit next to him and scratch, or even someone in my own ward who I don't necessarily know that well. If I sat next to him, but I knew him well enough to know that they knew that I was joking, like I'd sit and I'd give him the old, you know, back rub for like 2 seconds or whatever. Or if their wife was scratching their back, I'd try and get the wife's attention.
Okay.
I'd be like, take your hand away. I'll scratch your back, you know, and do that for a minute.
And nobody wants to sit next to you in church anymore.
I wonder, I don't know why people don't sit by
That's
us.
That's weird.
But like, that'd be like a 5 second scratch. But right. These guys... Where
it was
back scratching for like a good 20 minutes. And I went up and asked what the deal was because I was like, brothers? Okay, I could get it if it was brothers. Mm. You know? Because you get it.
Yeah.
It's like older brother caring for the younger brother. Listen,
okay,
I appreciate
if they were
you.
Like 15 and 12 maybe.
But not old
but
enough?
But not 21 and
no,
20.
No, you can. Come on.
That's weird.
I mean, it's weird.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's weird.
Yeah.
But like if your family was back scratchers
okay. And
you happen to be in elders quorum together and it's like, yeah, these guys weren't related. These guys weren't dating. They weren't, you know, homosexual. There wasn't anything
so
like that.
So what'd they say?
They're just like, oh, he wanted me to scratch his back. I'm blown away by it.
That's really weird.
Yeah. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. I can't think of an instance where that would be normal.
So me and that buddy, his name was Ryan, that went there whenever we would go to church then together because we lived together after that time, I would always sit right next to him and scratch his back for a minute. He's like, knock it off.
So did you know these guys
that
you went up to?
No, I had no idea. No,
so you just randomly went up to them and like, hey, why are you
scratching? They were scratching each other's backs in church. That wasn't random. It was like, hey, here's an interesting behavior that I observed you two do. I'd like to know what the deal is.
Who goes up to somebody and asks that?
This guy does.
I know. That's weird.
What? It is no weirder than scratching each other's back.
I'm not disagreeing. That's weird. I'm just saying that I think I would observe it.
I wanted to know.
I know. I would observe it, think it's weird, and then just go on my merry way judging them. I probably wouldn't have
asked. See, I didn't want to judge. I wanted to know where they came from.
Okay.
So that then I could walk away going, okay, they're brothers.
What if they had said, yeah, we're gay?
Then I would have said, all right, they're gay. I wanted to know. There was too much on the table for me to not know what was going on.
That's funny.
And then the other thing is with back scratching in church, my wife won't do it
really?
Anymore. No.
Why?
Like she'll do it if I really make an issue about it, but she used to do it when we were single. I think that she thinks it's one of those things that you just don't do once you're married.
What?
Weird, right?
Why don't you do it?
I think I don't know. She doesn't like it when other people do it. And I kind of am in that agreement. Like if people can't control themselves, I think they shouldn't do it at all.
Okay.
You know,
like
if it's
too
like,
much
oh,
scratching.
Yeah. Oh, baby, here's a massage. Yeah. Oh, cuddle up. Let's just take a nap. Does anybody have a blanket? We'll lay down on this bench here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there are some people that I feel like don't stop too much short of that.
Right.
So for me, I kind of just think, oh, you leave that out. And I think that's where she comes from on it.
Okay. It's either all or nothing.
Yeah. But it's frustrating because I was like, I remember that's one of my favorite things. You just scratch right here. And I love that when you write things.
Did you ever do the alphabet game where you try to spell things out?
I was just going to say, yeah. She used to say things like, I can't wait for church to be over.
That's funny. I said this to my husband the other day. I was scratching his back or something. And I was like, did you ever play the alphabet game? And he's like, you know, yeah. And he was like kind of hesitant about it. And I was like, it was with an ex-girlfriend, wasn't it? He's like, no, I mean.
That was you, wasn't it?
That was, oh gosh. Yeah, so he like felt bad that he did this with another girl. So now we don't really do the alphabet game. Like,
oh,
I won't spell things out on his back just because I know that other girl did it. And I don't want him to think about her when I do it, even though there's
you're
nothing.
Married.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Come on, have some security in your alphabet game.
Yeah, there's nothing that I'm insecure about in my relationship whatsoever. It's just I don't want him to have the thought that, oh, I did this once with Marianne, you know.
That's her name?
Yeah.
Do you like her?
Yeah. whatever.
Have you met her?
No, I've met her once. I mean, she's very nice. She's remarried now. She's got a new kid. But they like dated in high school. Like
hardcore. I'm getting the sense.
Yeah, like she was his high school thing, and then he left on his mission, and she wrote him on his mission, and said, "Hey, I'm getting married." Yeah. So like he was going to come back and like see where things went.
So he was ready for it.
Yeah, I think he was. Heart. I think he was kind of like on his mission, like
whatever. Like, justify it how you will. Yeah, I'm sure he was. He never thought about her.
Yeah, right.
He's never thought about her since either. I guarantee it.
Hey, don't put thoughts into my head.
It's cool.
No, that's not cool.
Next time we play the alphabet game, write Marianne on his back.
I should do that, right? Well, did I tell you about the time he came home with a Jamocha shake?
What?
Did I tell you about that?
Nuh-uh.
Okay, this is unrelated to anything church related, but quickly. Husband comes home with a Jamocha shake from Arby's, and he's like, honey, look, Jamocha shake.
You did? No, you did tell me this.
And I'm like, cool. He's like, don't you love these? And I was like,
no,
I'm pretty sure. And I tasted it, and it was gross. Like, I don't even like it. And he's like, oh. And I was like, that's another girl. You were thinking of another girl when you brought me this Jamocha shake. So I don't want him to think that.
Next time you do the back rub thing.
Because it could have been Marianne for both instances. Right, you never know.
Write Marianne on his back and okay. Playing the letter game.
I'll try
Let me know how it goes.
How do you spell it? I don't know how she spells it. I'll have to Facebook her.
I don't know. It's Utah. Okay, she could spell it, you know, P-H-M. The P-H is silent. It's Marianne.
That's true. Michaela with a Z.
And then the smiley face emoticon.
It's my legal name.
Jeez. All right, so coming up, second and third block. Stick around for it. It's great. It's Ellie Duke. She's a phenomenal guitarist and musician and about adorable. You can hear me kind of fawn for her in the episode.
You're creepy.
No, it was fine. I mean, she's young, but I was impressed by her talent. I wasn't okay.
Okay.
Should I not say that?
You shouldn't do that again.
No, it was just, she's very talented.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
Don't make me sound like I'm not a creeper. She didn't think I was a creeper.
I just like the noise you made.
Listen for yourself coming up in the second and third block.
Hey, it's me, Richie T. Want to take a second and tell you about my buddy Dylan over at Lennon Design. Go to LennonDesign.com to see some of the stuff that he's done. Or, you know what, better yet, go to theculturalhall.com and look at all the graphic stuff that we have there at that website. You know who's done that? Dylan at Lennon Design. He's offering a special deal for people in the Cultural Hall, a 10% discount. You know why it's 10%, right? And all you have to do is just give him a call, 801-699-3022. Any sort of graphic artwork or website design that you might need, give him a call. Think about Lennon Design. You know, they sponsor your favorite podcast.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. Joining me here is Ellie Duke. Which I got to start there. Did you get picked on really bad in elementary school?
You know, I'm pretty tall, so I always got those tall jokes. You
like
know,
the Amazon girl.
How's the weather up there? Mm-hmm. Skyscraper.
but never any sort of jokes about the last name. Because when I think Duke, I always think of
Ellie
like,
took a dookie.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Heard them all.
You're like, yes, it's painful. Let's not bring it up. This is cool. I got this email a while back, and this is how I first heard of you. It says, hey, Richie, love the podcast. I'm a lifer, which means this particular person has listened to every single episode of the Cultural Hall, which I encourage you to do too, Ellie.
Okay.
He says, anyway, I have a great suggestion for the podcast. There is some personal bias involved. I guess this is your uncle?
My uncle.
Brian?
Yeah, my uncle Bree. Oh.
Yeah. So he was the one who got this to us. He says, there's some personal bias, but hey, wait a minute. I think it's justified. He says, my niece, Ellie Duke, is a singer-songwriter who just released her album Love and Liberty, which you can find on iTunes. She's only 16. She writes her own songs. She plays guitar and the piano alongside having an excellent voice. He says the album was produced by Paul Cardall, who will be a future guest here in the Cultural Hall. He says the music is in the vein of, and feel free to disagree with any of this, by the way, the music is in the vein of country pop, kind of Taylor Swift, but she really is an up-and-coming talent. She's not looking to be defined solely as a Mormon artist, but still has references to faith and God in her lyrics. Don't get me wrong, though. She is very Mormon. That's what this is. She's a little shy, which I haven't seen yet, but very comfortable performing. And I'm sure would easily perform a few songs live for the show or solo on guitar. And it says, it feels like it's a perfect fit for the podcast. Then he goes on to brag about you. So tell me if any of this stuff is untrue.
Oh, geez.
You got your first guitar at the age of 12.
That's true.
And started writing your own songs at 13 and 14 and have written over 50 songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right at on. Age 14, you won Junior Draper Idol.
Yep, I sure did.
That's pretty rad. You wrote a song about Tom's shoes.
Yeah.
And was featured on their website.
Yeah.
I may get you to try and play that one. Do you remember that one?
Oh, it's been a while.
Okay, but put your mind on it a little bit. You chose to pursue music over volleyball, what with being the skyscraper and all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a shocker for many.
And I bet you were probably pretty good, right?
Yeah, I was pretty good. I was on the team my freshman year, but I quit to do music. So,
You appeared on Star Biz. What's that?
That was this show broadcasted by like BYU TV, and I learned a lot of stuff from it. But yeah.
And then let's see. Continue. He goes on and on. Geez, you gotta love your uncle. used to teach guitar at Rock University. Have over 185,000 video views on your YouTube channel.
Yes.
Which is what? Tell people where they can go to check that out.
That's just on YouTube. Ellie Duke.
ELLEE.
Mm-hmm. DUKE.
Duke. You know how to spell Duke. Dukey. And then it says here you wrote a song "I Came to Win" for Lexi Selman, a female Alta, which is a high school soccer player diagnosed with leukemia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cool. So that's a pretty good introduction. Now, yeah. What are we missing? Let's get into it.
Uh-oh.
So what made you want to get into playing the guitar?
I played piano from when I was 5 till I was 10, mm-hmm. and I'd always just loved guitar. I always loved country music, all music with guitar, and I just never knew how to play it. And I remember our neighbor, this kid who I was friends with, his name was Hudson, he had a guitar and he would play it. He was really good. And so I would always watch him and just like be like, can I hold it? Like, but I didn't know how to play it. I didn't know how to do anything. And it just drove me crazy. So finally, after I quit piano for a while, I started guitar. And ever since, I've just played it all the time.
was the piano a forced thing? Mom said, you'll be taking piano lessons. And you said,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mom just shook her head no, and you said yeah.
Oh, it was no. Forced.
That's fine. That's what we do in Mormon families. We go, listen, you're going to have a musical
Mormon
talent.
Families. I know. Isn't that's it? So true. Yeah, everyone plays piano
sing,
if you're Mormon.
You will be an actor, or you will learn to play the piano. And that is your choice, young Mormon person.
Stereotype. Mm-hmm.
And then the kid's like, I don't want to. And then we can get out of it. But for a long time, you know, parents want their kids to have some sort of musical endeavor.
Yes, yes.
And you said, nope, forget it. I'm doing the guitar. Hudson, did you make fun of Hudson? That's a hard name for a kid.
Hudson Bay.
Yeah. All
no,
that stuff.
I don't know. We had our jokes, but you know, it was mostly jokes about guitar and music.
Does he still play?
Yeah, he does.
And do you play with him? You ever done a duet or thought about writing stuff for the two of you to do together?
Yes. We actually played at one of my dad's work parties. But his family actually recently moved to California, so I haven't seen him for a while.
Long lost lovers, that kind of thing. Will you meet him in
college?
He's
actually younger than me, but you know.
That's all right.
I'm okay with the
Listen,
cougar
it
thing,
doesn't matter.
You know? Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm okay with the cougar thing. How old is he?
He's 16. I'm 17.
And 17. Wow, yeah. But that's a pretty big cougar.
It's a pretty
right
big
there.
Gap, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stretching
how much,
it.
How much taller are you than him?
Oh, let's not talk about that.
That still matters for now. It won't matter in a year or two.
Oh, it'll matter.
Oh, it still matters. So you get into this guitar thing, and was it an instant love where you're just like, yeah, now I held Hudson's guitar for a while. Now I'm in, and this is a thing, or was it growing pains with it?
At first, I just wanted to play like songs I knew. Like I wanted to play...
Like what? What's your favorite?
Like Taylor Swift songs or Colby Calais, you know. Just like all those, the singers that I liked. And when I had to start out with notes and just kind of the boring, like, you know, just
scales and chords and
stuff. It was kind of a bump for a while, but once I got past all of that, which was totally worth it, and into the songs and strumming and all that, it just everything came to life. And that's when I started writing.
What was the first song you ever wrote? What was that called?
The first song.
And how terrible was it compared to where you're at now? Because, I mean, you can be honest. I'm betting that you look back on the first one and you go,
It was pretty cheesy. Yeah. It was pretty cheesy, but it wasn't that bad. Like, I don't think it was that bad. It was called "You're the Other Half of My Hole."
Really? Do you remember it? Do you remember how to play it?
I probably could, yeah, if I mess with it.
Will you do it?
I haven't played it for years.
That's fine. I want you to stumble through it and have it be as real as it can be. I'll let you play the ones that you're really good at in this as well, but I want to hear.
Okay, I'll give it a try, but okay. It might be a train wreck.
No, let's try it right now. You got to.
Okay. This is going to be.
That's fine.
Interesting.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Liquid eyes melt into mine. Your dimples start to show, and I can see that crooked smile. The way you laugh when you're happy, the way you take me away.
I don't remember the rest, but as you can see, nice and cheesy.
No, that's great. So how old are you when you wrote that?
I think I was probably like 13.
Yeah? And was it about someone?
That is confidential.
Oh. I love it. I love it because I remember I wasn't able to be gifted enough to have that musical talent as far as that goes. I sing and I do some theater stuff. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking, you know what? 13-year-old girls love poetry. And I remember getting into this big thing thinking, you know what I'll do? I'll woo her, just like you see in the movies,
woo her.
With poetry. And I remember just these lines where it's like,
roses are red, violets are blue.
I can see myself together with you. And it's like, just awful, just awful stuff. Yours was much better. I'm not calling yours awful.
Oh, but no. Call it off all you want.
Come on, let's talk about the guy. Who's it about?
I don't remember exactly, but I know I did have a crush on this one boy who was really tall. Mm-hmm. So there's no problem there. And
this tall thing is a theme here.
You know, it's who I am.
How tall are you? How tall are you?
I actually don't know. I haven't measured like forever, but I'm probably 5'11".
That's not bad.
It's pretty tall. But,
it's pretty tall. I had a friend in college who, she had a really difficult time with it because she was like 6'3".
Wow.
Which and she did the volleyball and the basketball and, you know, everything like mm-hmm. that. And it played really well for that. But she it was an issue for her because when she would go to date people, she always felt like she was the big, you know, the big woman with the I mean, she wasn't by no means fat, but she just felt big and towering over everyone. And she ended up marrying a guy that's like 7'2". And I've already invested in their children. I've said, you know what? I'm putting a down payment. Whatever they decide to do with their life, 25% here. I'll pay for their diapers. I got this going. You just make sure I get 25% when they get when
7 foot old. 2 guy.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Just massive.
He's like
just
a foot taller than her.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's great because
be
the
nice.
Two of them, you just look at them and
that's
you're like.
Rare.
But she couldn't date anyone smaller than her. That's
I can't either.
That's kind of a weird jaunt. Sorry that we went there.
All right.
So did you ever get to play that song for the guy?
I actually did. I played it at our talent show in like 7th grade. And I'm sure everyone knew I liked him. So
was he impressed?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Did it work out? Did you guys go together? Or did mom step
in? Did we go together?
Isn't that what they say? What do kids
maybe
say
maybe for
nowadays?
Like a day. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I can't.
Will you be my boyfriend? Yes. No.
But then you only like text and you don't talk
exactly.
at school. And you just, oh, he's coming. Says, yeah. Turn away.
I put a note in his locker, but I can't possibly be seen with him
exactly,
in a public place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Is mom and dad pretty supportive of you?
Oh, yeah. They're the best. They're at everything. They never miss anything. They're awesome.
Are they pretty talented themselves? Any musical talent within the family? You can say no if there's not. She knows
in
that there is.
My family, I don't think so. Like my older brother, he played guitar with me too. My little brother plays drums, but I'm more the one that I don't know has really made it like a passion.
Where does it come from? Do you think?
I don't know. I think it was just a gift.
Do you consider it to really be like a gift from God, where it's like, hey, here you go.
Yeah, I think I was in line for singing and songwriting in heaven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how has it been with friends? Do they treat you pretty well, or sometimes, because girls can be pretty catty.
Yeah, I've definitely had those, you know, just like the remarks or the comments, but most all my friends are really supportive and just like happy for me, and like, you know, they want to come to my performances, or they want me to play my new song, or, you know, it's really great.
You're like, I brought my guitar to this pajama party. Hold on, everyone. Someone's singing my Lord goodbye. No, maybe not. Maybe not
that extreme.
Do you get a lot of it where people are like for church stuff, or, you know, just for things where it's like, hey, and bring your guitar. Are you that, is it to the point with your friends and that you become that friend?
Yes, I've had that before. And also church, I get a lot of, will you sing in this? Or like, I've sang in a lot of farewells or like homecomings, mm-hmm, for missionaries.
Have you done house parties yet?
Yes, I have. I've done, quite a few house parties. I like them. They're really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. Do you have a lot of guys who kind of fall in love with your talent, and then like you'll go out with them and be like, I think that you're just kind of, you like that I can sing and that I'm pretty, but you're weird.
It is interesting how that happens when,
right?
You,
they kind of become fanatical and they're, yeah, like, oh, she's so great.
Yeah.
This is so weird. Why is this guy at this concert again?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Just like how people treat you kind of until they know about like your talents or things you can do, and then they treat you so much different after.
How do you mean?
I don't know, just like, for example, like at the talent show in seventh grade, I remember after, like, people just want to be your friend more, people want to like be like hanging out with you all the time, and like before you do, like before you sing, before you show them what you have, then it's different. But it's good because people are really supportive, but it's definitely, people treat you different when they find out like what you can do, you know?
What's been your favorite thing you've done so far with your guitar?
Like
party or concert or this time, or there was this thing that I did. What's been the big memory?
Recently, I opened for Peter Brian Hole up in Sundance. Mm-hmm. And that was so fun. My cousin Sam, he's actually in a band called J-Ride, and he played with me, and it was a blast. It was so much fun.
No. Mm-mm. No? You don't get scared up there?
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
How'd you get over it?
I think just performing so much and just always, that's just what I do. So I got to a point where I'm more like excited instead of nervous. It kind of turned into excitement, you know.
Peter's a pretty nice guy. He's been in here in the Cultural Hall before, too.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He was one of the early episodes. And actually, truthfully, about 20% of the reason why this podcast even exists is because I wanted an excuse to be able to interview Peter Brienholt. And so he comes in, and this was really embarrassing. People can go back and you can hear it. I think it's episode 6 of this podcast. But you can hear where I'm just staring at him and just... and just watching, and he's waiting for me to ask a question, and he's just gotten finished singing What About, and I'm just like, I'm like that creepy guy that you talk about that's just like, you know, they want to be your friend, and then you go to talk to him and it's like, I don't have anything to talk about, dude. You're just amazing to me.
That's so funny.
But yeah, you couldn't
I'm gonna ask him about that
next
time I see him.
He'll remember. What's hard about what you do?
Let's see. I think one thing, I'm like really proud to be a member of the church, but one thing I've really tried is just to not be only like an LDS artist. Like I want to be like more, not totally secluded to just LDS kind of music. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be out like more national or international kind of genre, I guess, music. The business is just hard. People are, you know, people are rascals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, rascals. I like that. That's a good way to put it.
But it's really, I love it so much. So it's all worth it to me, you know.
Yeah. What's the ultimate goal?
I just want the world to hear me.
Yeah. Will you do another one for us?
Yeah.
You can pick this one. I won't make you play a song that you don't know very well.
Okay. Do you want me to do the whole thing?
Yeah. If you want. Listen, you can stop and be like, that's the end, and I wouldn't know any different.
Okay.
But you got to set it up for us. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how you wrote it.
So this song is called Tippy Toes, and it's kind of funny because I'm so tall, so I'm usually not on my tippy toes, but this was more of my poetic side, kind of the more emotional tippy toes, as if you're reaching for someone, but not like actually on your tippy toes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
You're the cookie jar on the top of the shelf, probably better off to be taken by someone else. Someone stronger than me, yeah. Someone taller than me. Whoever she is, if she's got you, she's got it all. Whatever her name, oh, I wish I knew, 'cause I'd walk right up to that girl and ask how in the world she's got you. 'Cause I was on the tip top, tip of my tippy toes, reaching for you. I was so close every time, thought we were as good as gold. You let me go. The right words, they never come. They seem to be on the tip top of my tongue. You know they say good things come to those who wait. And I'm the thief in the night, trying to steal away your heart. You know the only place I wanna be. I bet she's stronger than me, yeah. She might love you longer than me. Wait, that's a lie, 'cause I'ma love you until the day I die. Whatever her name, oh, I wish I knew, 'cause I'd walk right up to that girl and ask how in the world she's got you. I was on the tip top, tip of my tippy toes, reaching for you. Yeah, I was so close every time, I thought we were as good as gold. You let go. The right words, they never come. They seem to be on the tip top of my tongue. You know they say good things come to those who wait. If I never get a chance, oh, if I never get a shot, if I'm just another girl, yeah, another girl you forgot, if I never get to call you my own, at least you'll know I was on the tip top, tip of my tippy toes, reaching for you. Yeah, I was so close every time, thought we were as good as gold. Why did you let go? The right words, they never came. And I'm alone, it's just the same old same. But it's okay, 'cause you know they say, oh, it's okay. You know they say that good things come to those who wait. So I'll just wait. Maybe you're the good thing coming my way.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5576 to book your shoot today.
Hi, this is Glenn Rawson, and you're listening to The Cultural Hall. Please tune in and enjoy it.
feels like I'm running, going nowhere. Feels like I'm falling and trying to land on air. And I'm breathing, but my heart's not beating the way it was before. These ghosts were knocking on my door. My dreams are part of me, and I will reach them no matter how far they may be. You can take the ground from beneath my feet. You can can't take anymore. And I remember what I'm fighting for. And I know that I won't be alone, 'cause I can't win this.
It's just me clapping, but everyone else is clapping too as they listen to this. Man, I had to catch myself because I noticed I was staring because I was like, wow, she's so talented. And then I was like, creeper. I mean, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Wow. Ellie Duke is who we're talking to right now. You can find it on YouTube, on iTunes. It's Love and Liberty. Is that right?
Yeah, that's my album. That was I Came to Win.
And tell us a little bit about I Came to Win. There's a story behind it.
All right. So there's this girl that is in my, she lives close to my, our house also, but she's in our stake, in our ward boundary, you know, and, not our ward boundary. She's in our stake. Sorry. I don't know what I'm saying.
She's the next street over, but it's actually an entirely different stake.
It's whatever. But anyways, I don't know her that well. Like before I wrote the song, I didn't, but, we'd recently found out that she had leukemia, and it was just, it was pretty devastating because she was just graduating and, you know, she had a soccer scholarship and it was just a rough time in your life to be diagnosed with leukemia, you know.
Not like those good times to be, no, I'm just giving you a hard time. No, it's, but it's, I understand what you're saying. Just, it's there's a total difference from someone who may be 70 or 80 than someone who just is in the cusp of their life.
Yeah, just beginning forward. Their future. And I really wanted to, I don't know, write a song to help her or family or, you know, and it was hard though because I didn't know her, but I knew that Heavenly Father knew her. And so before I wrote the song, I said a prayer and that just that I could understand because, you know, I've never had leukemia. I don't understand what that feels like or what it feels like to be told that. And so I honestly, it was a pretty amazing experience. I don't remember a lot of writing the song. Mm-hmm. I just remember finishing and just, it was pretty amazing. I knew like there was someone on the bench, the piano bench next to me when I was writing.
That's cool.
Like, it was a pretty amazing thing.
Yeah, that's something that, I mean, you don't hear about that very often. That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
And to take the opportunity for prayer too. I'm so amazed by like the talent and the tenderness to the spirit. I think that's awesome.
Thank you.
Ellie, who is not just a Mormon artist, she is a...
I am very Mormon though.
Yeah. According to the email. I'm kind of in awe as far as you know, seeking out help from our Heavenly Father to be like, hey, you know what? Help me understand this. What do you do when you're not playing music?
not well, a lot. Yeah, I love Cafe Rio. That's one of my favorite places. I eat there
the salad
more than I
or
should.
Do you do the burrito?
Pork salad.
Okay.
Pinto beans.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. They know me. They know me when I go there.
Oh, they know
see
me.
Me coming.
Hola. I love, like, I have a great group of friends that I, you know, run with, and my family, you know, we're really close. We do a lot together. That's pretty much the lowdown, though.
Yeah. Favorite vacation spot with the family?
Oh, we actually went to Chicago one time, and that was really cool, because I'm not really a city girl, but, like, it was kind of cool to just, like, see that life for a couple days, and that was really fun. From one of my dad's work trips.
That's pretty cool. What did you do while you were out there? I'm a huge fan of Chicago. So
oh,
now I'm
love
like,
it. Huh? Me and my mom actually went shopping and we went.
At the Magnificent Mile, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
where it's every woman's paradise because it's every store.
You can imagine.
For literally a mile. And that's why they call it the Magnificent Mile.
It was magnificent.
Just every shop.
And we just like swam, just chilled, ate. Watch movies, got room service, you know. It's a good time.
Did the city life. That's cool.
Yeah.
So what's the end goal then with this whole thing?
The end goal, I guess the main thing is just like, I'm not going to stop till I get there. So
what's there though? What's there? How do we know? All right, I'm there. Or is there
one? I just want
one?
To be out there, you know. I just want to be more known. I want to, you know, have huge concerts. Like, I just want to share my music because I don't know. I just feel like, I honestly feel like I have a special connection with my Heavenly Father, and I really feel like I can use my talents to benefit people.
How do you keep away for, I guess the temptation side of it or the, you know, it's pretty easy to be like, it's my talent, whatever, God, I got this. I'm the one working at this. I don't need, you know what I'm saying? How do you keep a balance on everything?
I guess with just like my faith and things, like I know that he gave that to me, and so it's not exactly mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, I can't just take it and be like, thanks, see ya, you know, peace out. But so I always just try and remember where it comes from and not, you know, people ask me like, I don't know, when people tell me about, you know, like, oh, you did great, you know, I just say thank you and I just remember where it comes from.
Good. Please remember that always, because you see a lot of people where they get pretty caught up in it.
Yeah, that's kind of my fear too.
Yeah, I mean, if you make the choice now, that's the big thing. They always say, you know, I've interviewed a few people A while back, I talked with Brandon Campbell of the Neon Trees.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, you know what we do? We have a prayer and we do a little devotional before each of our concerts. And
that's awesome.
You know, they keep a focus that way. But he said, within that episode, he said, you know what? If we hadn't have had a plan saying we want this to continue to be important to us, then they wouldn't have made it as far as that goes. And they're to me kind of the epitome of, man, you can be a cool rock star and be Mormon, and you don't have to be that cool Mormon rock star.
Mm-hmm.
So
something I do too that's kind of funny, I don't know, me and my mom kind of do this. Whenever we get like a new CD, because we love, you know, just like the classic big plastic CD.
Uh-huh. You might have heard of them, compact discs, you know? They go in CD players. I'm familiar.
Okay, good. But anyway, we always like look at the like thank yous, and uh-huh. I just think it's so cool when people like recognize like thank yous to just like God and that. I think that's really cool.
And a big thanks to your guitar teacher, your mom was saying too.
Oh yes, my guitar teacher, Jared Barney. He was actually my second guitar teacher, and he like really just, that was kind of like the spark.
What about it? What about him?
He just had such a passion for music. It just made me like so excited, and just I wanted to learn every song and just never stop. And I would go to my lesson and I would get my song and I would go home and I would practice it all night, and I would have it down by like the next day. You know, so it just, he was a big part of, and then I would, like, I played my first songs I wrote for him, and he, actually, there's a song on my CD that we co-wrote, it's called Love Is Enough, and it's, he wrote the guitar, and I wrote the lyrics, and it was just, we had, like, a connection, because we both love music so much, I think, and actually, he was my boss for about a year.
Oh, well, you taught there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very cool. So I'm going to get you to play one more, and I want you to play something that is super upbeat, if you've got a super upbeat one to take us out of this. Think about that for a second. But a couple more questions that we ask everyone that comes in the Cultural Hall is, do you have a calling right now?
Do I have a calling?
Yeah, in your ward.
Yes, I'm actually the first counselor, right?
Looking to mom, right? Yes. Is that what I am?
Well, they just barely redid the presidency, so I... But yeah, I'm the first presidency in the Laurels. First counselor in the Laurels presidency, and I'm also on a seminary committee at school.
Cool. What do you do on that committee?
We have like new challenges every month, and we like plan like cool activities and just like try to get everyone excited about seminary. And
is it hard to still be pumped about church? I know for a lot of kids your age, especially, it seems like anymore, it's like you either have the really hardcore ones or the people that are like, I don't care.
Like just about going to church?
Yeah, just going to church and seminary and everything like that. Like you start to get your independence, and it seems like a lot of people, and maybe it's me doing that. Back in my day, we had more people that were obedient. But it seems like that kids are really, it's really tough on kids.
Yeah, especially like in this day and age, you know, there's so many distractions and just like things. And honestly, for me, I've definitely had those days when it's a little harder to be super excited about it, but I always know that it's worth it, and you know, it's in the end, it always is what you should be doing. So
yeah, if you could pick a calling for yourself, what would you pick? You could make one up, or you can have one that already exists. If you could pick any church calling.
Any calling.
Yeah.
That's hard. Any church calling.
Anything.
Even if a man does it?
Even if it's a man. Even if it's a man job.
Be the bishop. No. Just yeah. Kidding. No, I don't want to be the bishop. I love young women's. Like, I wish there was a calling where, like, I could just, like, be called to, like, write songs for young women's or something. Or, like, just, like, sing in young women's all the time or more, I guess. I don't know.
That's cool. Yeah. See, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's a calling. It's the young woman's songwriter.
Singer.
Singing.
And writing.
Fantasticness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Calling.
Throw that on the end.
I don't normally ask this, but I'm curious. So when you get done with high school, is it college, or are you going to try and push it pretty hard, or is that something that mom and you have quite the conversation about?
It's kind of funny. People ask me, like, where do you want to go to college? And in my mind, the first thing I think is, well, I want to, you know, push really hard to get this going. And so I honestly don't know for sure, but right now I really want to go for it.
Does that make mom nervous? No. Good. Kind of. Makes her a little nervous. She's keeping her arms folded and is pretty reverent right now. You know, there are a lot of things, though, that you can do that you, I mean, to side with mom for a second and then to side with you, there are a lot of things that you could go into that would be really beneficial. Things like anything to do with web stuff that could help you get out, and anything to do with business, because you end up essentially being your own business person, your own marketer.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, man, but I don't want to do that, those things would be able to help you. Definitely. But on the other side, pursue it now while you can, because you know, once you get older, it's going to be one of those things where you go, oh, I could have, I was really talented at that and I never did. So I encourage you to do it. All right, you got the song? Okay, not yet, but okay. Last question: what is your favorite part of your faith?
What is my favorite part of my faith? I think my favorite part of my faith is just knowing that we're not alone, and that there's like a plan, and there's a way to become more than just someone living on a planet, you know. There's so much more, and I think I'm so grateful for it, just because if I didn't have that direction, I think I would be a very different person. And, you know, I just my relationship with my Heavenly Father, I feel like He's like my best friend. And so without that, I don't really know where I'd be.
Cool. All right. Now, are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do this thing.
Okay.
Tell me what this one's called.
All right. This one is called Sidewalk Chalk. And this is on my album. And this one, it's not like a true story or anything. I wish it was, but it's a little like fantasy. I kind of just thought in my head about a little boy and a little girl. You know, they're kind of like little sweethearts, and they're always playing with sidewalk chalk outside, and one day the little girl gets up and there's arrows on the sidewalk to the little boy's house, and it's kind of the story about that.
Cool.
And I actually wrote this song when we were in our rental house before we moved into our house we were building. it was just funny, because it's kind of a beautiful, beautiful story, and our rental house was a beautiful place. Let's just put it that way.
Was not a beautiful place, huh?
It was okay. It was working. I wrote lots of good songs there. Yeah.
One day I walked outside and saw these arrows on the road pointing down the street. I thought, hey, it might be kind of fun to see where they lead. So I came to a door, I rang a bell. When I saw you there, my heart just fell. And you said, laughing to yourself. I ran past your house every day, wondering if you're inside of some other place tonight. I've liked you since the second grade. Look, now we're face to face. If you ever need anything, well, I'm just down the block. Just follow the arrows make sidewalk chalk. Ooh, 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 whoa, whoa. That boy made a statement and I sure liked it. So we hung out and drew little pictures. Up to some flowers in a little purple cut, and a note that said, I'll ride past your house every day, wondering if you're inside of some other place. And I've liked you since the second grade. Look, now we're face to face. If you ever need anything, well, I'm just down the block. Just follow the arrows. Arrows made sidewalk chalk. Ooh, 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 whoa, whoa. Ooh, 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 whoa, whoa. Who was I kidding when I thought love had come and gone? Well, that's when you came along. Since the second grade, look, now we're face to face. You ever need anything? chalk chalk. Ooh, 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 whoa, whoa, yeah. Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat on the back row. We read.